meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Finally, some us time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we have a guest last night?
Yeah. No.
You're a doctor, dude?
That's right, we didn't. Hey, listen, these nights just bleed one into the other.
Yeah. Speaking of one and the other, I'm doing Stern again tomorrow.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh. And no pain like that alarm going off at 3:30 in the morning. No pain. Hated it when I was 9 years old. Hate it now.
But then they just got you up, made you pee in a jug, and put you back to bed.
No. Right. That the 3:30 alarm was a sodomy alarm.
Okay.
That's where my grandfather nailed me. 2:30 was peeing the jug.
And then when was your uncle scheduled in?
He was flexible. So 4:30.
Oh, see.
Sometime between 4:30 and when the street lights went off.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, you know, flexible. Sometimes he went out drinking. Never know. How dare you? My uncle. I think my uncles are dead. I got one living one. All right, let's hop to the phones here. Oh. Drew, are you like me? You can ruin your whole day based on something that's coming 16 hours down the road.
You know, the problem, I think what you're really feeling is you still haven't gotten over the shock of what you did to yourself to do that damn show 2 days ago. Or yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yesterday. And so you're
still
kind
of tired.
Yeah, you're not recovered, and that you can taste that pain. You know it's coming. You're still kind of feeling it. Man, it's going to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I imagine you have a little bit of work to do in the afternoon that day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Michael?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 20?
Yep.
Is that it?
Huh?
Anything else to say?
I'm going to wrap this show up a little early tonight.
Right, how about right now?
We drove out here. Let's stay for at least as long as it took us to drive out here.
All right.
But I could really get it. I could really get a jump on some sleep tonight. I'm getting up at 3:30. Even if I went to bed now, it wouldn't be what you call a good night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just looking to wrap it up about 20, 25 minutes from now. Michael?
Yeah, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I've been with my chick.
Hold on a second.
Oh, boy.
You know my theory, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
My theory is we start the show at the same time every single night, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
But almost every night we finish at like 12:02, 12:01, and 40 seconds.
That's
right.
We can cash that back in now.
Hell yeah, we can.
Yeah.
That's a minute and 45 or 2 minutes. I think we probably average about a minute and a half, minute 45 after midnight. My contract says 10 to midnight, by the way.
Huh.
5 nights a week times whatever, 7-8 years we've been doing this show.
Let's just to keep it in 2002. It's now, where are we? It's like 10 months of at least five.
Five times five, 20. Yeah. We're about a half hour a week right there.
Easy.
Oh.
No, well, let's give us 10 minutes a week.
Oh, we're not having a half hour a month.
Yeah,
sorry.
Half hour a month. And then put that times 10. There you go. There you go.
We're not showing up until Wednesday next week. All right. Wait a minute. All right, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, well,
let's really not do that anymore, Drew. It hurt me now when I realized it was 10 hours of free radio. Go ahead.
My chick used to have these big orgasms when I would go down on her.
What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't have them anymore. Mm-hmm. She has, like, little bitty ones, and she says it's not me, it's her, but I don't know what to... She doesn't really tell me a lot, so I don't know.
How can you tell... How do you judge the size?
It's more the build than the... She used to have big ones. Now she has small ones.
I need to know if she's on medication, a new birth control pill, that kind of thing.
I got to punish Michael for the effing word just a little bit more, don't I?
Mm. Let's punish him by getting to it and getting
well, at least he cut himself. Yeah. All right.
Michael?
Yeah.
Is she on any birth control pills?
Yeah, that's it.
Did she recently start some?
No, she's been on them for a while.
How long has the orgasm's been little?
For about a month.
And how long has she been on the pill?
For about a year.
And she hasn't changed brands or anything like that?
Nah.
Any other medication or anything?
Nope.
And she's not, she wasn't, how long have you been with her?
About 2 years.
2 years?
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. I heard lots of years, didn't you?
No, I heard 3 years. Like it was between two and three. All right, so I don't know. This is her changing. Don't be insecure. She's having an orgasm. You're way ahead of the game.
Yeah, and all kinds of things can come to influence this, but most commonly it'd be medication and birth control pills and that sort of thing.
And women have a little cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at it this way, Drew. If you took most women and broke down their sort of sexual life from age, I don't know, 16 to 66, there'd be some salad days in there and some dark days, you know? Whereas a guy, it's more about who he gets to screw during this period in his life.
Right.
I mean, all guys look back and like, oh, man, when I was in high school, oh, I was getting a cheerleader. Oh.
And his age, that's about
it. Oh, I got beat off to that. Oh. You know, but it's not really about how much you were enjoying it.
No.
All right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Corbin?
Speaking.
You're 31? Oh, I like that speaking.
How's it going?
We never get that speaking.
Yeah, I'm from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Good times?
I'm from Florida.
You're supposed to react, Adam.
I was trying to get a piece of paper. I don't got time to react to everything. I'm a tired and busy man. All right, you're from Florida. Big deal.
Yeah. From the Chinookockney tribe?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Want to teach Adam some...
Chinookockney?
Yeah.
Just sounds like you're trying to blow yourself. Okay.
I have a question for you guys.
All right. Hey.
Yeah, Chinookockney?
Okay.
Hold on a second. Is it a joke? No. I mean, Chinookockney? Yeah. Sounds like there's some joke in there that we're not quite getting.
The hidden
yeah,
joke.
It's like from the Hey Bada Bada tribe or something, you know? Let's see. Yeah. What tribe again? What tribe?
Yeah, Chinookockney.
Is Chinookockney a actual tribe?
No, I'm complimenting you on your Native American speech.
Oh, do I say that?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Listen, here's the problem, everybody. Don't do jokes. It's confusing enough for Drew when I do the comedy.
Yes.
When you do it, then we have to stop the show and try to decipher it. It's confusing when our listeners try to be entertaining, is it not?
Oh, it's baffling.
Especially when it's...
It's certainly not entertaining.
Oh, that's right. All right, Corbin. Yaya chikeya! Nanayewa! Tachijawa!
Tachijawa.
Yeah, all right, Corbin. What's up
okay,
now?
I have a question. I'm having some problems with a female friend that I've just recently met. And she tends to want to be friends. And I have feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of becoming an issue because it happens quite often.
That you get like that? You get attached to women that don't want to reciprocate.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what my question is there, I still really want to be friends with her because we get along well and we do a lot of social activities and stuff. Is there any chance that I'm going to be able to control my emotions and just be friends with her?
No.
Not until you hook up with somebody else.
Right.
Right, that's what I thought.
There's that, and then you can do what every other male does is sit and just wait for your time.
But see, I don't want to do
that. Wait till she's vulnerable.
So should I actually, I'm going to do whatever you guys say, so give me pertinent advice.
Find a new...
Kill yourself.
Find a new...
All right.
Find someone new.
Well,
have you asked?
Hold on.
You've asked her out in no uncertain terms.
We've been on some double dates, but I asked her to come over tonight, and she was not into it.
Mm.
And she knew that, I wanted her to put out when she got here.
Right. You couldn't just rape her out in the street or place somewhere halfway between your two homes. She had to come over to your house. Well, she knew.
Yeah, I figured we'd do it. It's a little cold here in Frisco.
All right. You know, almost all the guys we speak to that are having trouble with the ladies, couple syllables into the conversation.
And you know why.
First off, women say they like a guy with a sense of humor. They really don't. They'll take cool and brooding any time of the year. And here's the deal. Let me explain what's up with you women who allegedly like a sense of humor. You don't know when a guy has a good sense of humor. You think a hot 17-year-old chick knows when a guy has a good sense of humor? Hell no. Most guys don't know when people have good sense of humor, and women especially don't know it. So it ends up being a strike against the guy if, in fact, you actually do have a sense of humor. This is like you trying to hang out with an 8-year-old who says, I love fine cuisine. Yeah, if that's macaroni and cheese and grape soda, you're in great shape. So what do? You whip up some pheasant under glass, and the kid pukes in your lap. Great sense of humor. How dare you try to pass that on? Oh, it makes you look so cool. Now, you women like brooding guys, and you don't like guys like Corbin over here with corny senses of humor who do too much talking and too much thinking. You show me a guy who doesn't talk, I'll show you guys getting laid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. See how much I talk, Drew?
Yeah, no, yeah. That doesn't translate into much, I guess.
Do the math.
Yeah.
Jason?
Yeah.
You're 22.
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I'm giving off like a friend vibe when I meet women, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to date me. They just say, you know, they date me for a couple days, and then they move on.
Born gay.
How do you approach
someone? Life is to live gay.
How do you approach someone that you're interested in?
Well, I go up to them and I let them know in a subtle kind of way. And that's how I do it. I say, hey, you know, would you like to go out with me and stuff like that?
And this is we met at school or something?
Oh, no, I'm not in school anymore.
Where do you meet them?
I meet them in bars.
In bars. So maybe it's the kind of people you're going after.
How do you get on a couple of dates with them, though? Couple of dates?
Yeah.
Really? Do you kiss at the end of the date?
Yeah.
You do? You give them the tongue? You slip them the tongue?
No, I let them lead into it.
Yeah, but they don't often lead into it. You got to lead them into it.
I mean, it depends on how good the kiss is. You know, you can't just sit there and just, like, throw your tongue down someone's throat.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they don't like that kind of thing sometimes.
All right.
All right, so you fix them up at a bar, and then you decide, you know, you manage to hook up a couple
of
days.
Yeah, we go to a bar, you know, I kind of meet them up.
Jason, I guarantee, I can pretty much be assured this is the kind of person you're looking for. People are not really looking for a relationship or not wanting to date or certainly not wanting a nice guy.
22 and out of school is no man's land. And I mean it, no man's land, not no woman's land. 22-year-old chick, hottest commodity she'll ever be. 22-year-old guy, nothing. Mm. What are you supposed to do? Date? You know, I'll tell you who you get to date. Really who you should be dating at 22 is effed up 15-year-olds. I mean, that's who you got your best shot at. Effed up 15 and 16-year-olds.
Yeah, you're not advocating that. You're not suggesting
that. No, because if you're a normal 22-year-old guy, you don't want to date a 10th grader. Although that's not most of our callers. But who are you going to date? You going to date some 22-year-old chick? No, she's dating a 31-year-old attorney.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Go back to college? Can't go back to college.
Right.
You can't date. You know who gets to date the college chicks? College dudes. If you're out of college and you're 22, 23, you're not making any money, got nothing going on, no man's land.
Yeah.
Better off being 17 and a senior in high school.
Oh, yes.
It's tough. I feel...
Go to graduate school.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah.
Or just get a job as a janitor at the college. You get the nameless college checks.
Good time.
Yeah, at night, you know, when they fall asleep. Joe?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
That big key ring, you know.
What's up, Joe?
You're 15?
Adam, first, I gotta say you are a god.
Thanks.
All the kids at my school, or most of them, they all know your name and stuff, and we even have a little fan club stuff going on.
Special school?
Is it a special school? Is there learning disabilities, special challenged kids?
No, but your names are on my shoes.
And good.
And the hookah pipe.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay.
And the hookah pipe they all stand around.
Oh, you guys smoke a lot of weed over there?
Nope.
Yep.
Well, I'm not one of the smokers.
All right. So you got a little Adam fan club. That's healthy. Little worship is healthy once in a while. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, so here's the problem. I got this girlfriend. She's real flirty and stuff, you know. She likes to flirt with guys a lot, and she'll freak if I tell her what to do because she has that feminist crap going on, doesn't like being told what to do and stuff.
Well, what do you mean by told what to do? What is that?
Like, well, if I just outright say I don't want you flirting with guys, she'll just, like, freak on me or something.
Hmm. And, well, is this relationship worth being in? Is this an important relationship to maintain? If she's sort of mistreating you, and then she's abusive
the
when you suggest
high quality. I mean, Adam, she'll let you sit back and eat a sandwich.
You know what?
The BJ's
what you're
are high
doing?
Quality.
You get to eat a sandwich. Yeah. But then you got to eat a knuckle sandwich later when you tell her to quit flirting, right? Yeah. Hey, Joe. Well, listen, if the BJs are high quality, you know, then what are you going to do?
That's why you make the big bucks.
That's why I make the big bucks.
That's right. That kind
True.
Of wisdom.
What, you know, 15 years old, if you're getting high quality BJs, what would you have traded that for?
I mean, what would you tolerate is really the question. You'd trade your life for it.
Yeah, like the lives of one of your parents,
your
beloved pet.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, guys with one eye drive, fine. Yeah, what do I need this eye for?
The question is, what would you tolerate from someone?
Anything. I mean, look, so what's our advice for him?
To really think about what he's doing. And this is a girl who sounds like a kind of a pain in the ass at best. I mean, she's doing engaging in behaviors that are sort of, all right, so you want to do that, go do that, but you have a boyfriend who's telling you upsets. I mean, certainly 15 to 17 or 19-year-old guys, that is the wheelhouse for the being troubled by that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
You know, guys are just crazy about that stuff.
Yeah.
And to do it somewhat is, of course, understandable and normal, but to really flaunt it and then to become abusive when he brings it up, that's not right.
All right. I didn't feel that Joe was that attached to the question, so
no,
I didn't get that into it.
I am with you.
And here's the deal, callers. Drew and I, whether we like it or not, because we're just not professional enough to fake it, will be as into the call as you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not that into it, you doesn't seem like you're just talking, bragging, doesn't seem like it's a big deal to you, then it's not a big deal to us.
And it won't last very long.
That's right. Unless it reminds me of something.
In which case, we'll still put you on hold.
I'll put you on hold for a jag, and then I'll come back and talk to you at the end. And technically, it'll be 7 minutes, but really, we'll have only spoken to you 30 seconds out of that 7 minutes. Right, Drew?
30 seconds, yeah.
Derek?
Yeah.
You're 19?
I'm 19, and I am.
Great. What's up?
Nothing. I just had some questions for you or for Drew, if Drew's there.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, I've been spitting around these hospitals the past year or so. I've had two doctors tell me I'm bipolar. Now I have one that tells me I'm not. So of course they just throw all these medications at me.
Are they all from the same discipline? Are they all psychiatrists?
Yeah, yes. I've been a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
Have you been using drugs during this whole time?
Oh, no.
You don't do drugs?
No, not anymore.
So just, all right, so you did do drugs.
Yeah.
And when you were doing drugs, was that when you got the bipolar label?
No, it was, I don't know, it was like a year ago. I had just met a certain person, so I decided to quit the doing drugs and drinking and all that stuff.
Let me ask the question again, Derek.
Yeah, okay.
When you were first diagnosed with bipolar, were you using drugs around that time?
No, I was not. When they first diagnosed me, I was not taking any drugs or drinking.
I don't mean that day. I mean, is that...
No, I know what you mean, like that time.
Yeah, frame. Right.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Drew's decided it's because you're doing drugs, you might as well just go along with it.
No, what I'm trying to, I'm really going to get it clear, because it's real common for people doing drugs to sort of appear bipolar, to look as though they were bipolar.
You do this with your patients, right, where they go like, I have a bronchial condition. You go, do you smoke? And they go, no. Do you smoke? Smoked one cigarette once when I was in high school, about 22 years. Is that what you do to your patients?
Just like that, Adam. When I make that funny trumpet lip thing you just did, too.
Derek?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you doing drugs when you were diagnosed?
Oh, my God.
That's, Adam sounds a little happy.
That's what you sound like, Drew. It's exactly what you sound man.
Man, when you talk like that.
It's like I don't even know you, man.
Oh, man. Derek, so listen, there's just a difference of opinion. It's not uncommon for there to be that kind of a difference. It's a hard thing to really nail down.
Yeah.
One of the ways that can be sort of clarified is to get what's called psychological testing or neuropsychological testing.
Yeah, I've done all that. Yeah.
And how did you show up on the testing?
I showed up as being bipolar.
All right, well, there's not much arguing with that.
Yeah, I know. One of the things, just one quick comment just to help you. When I was, I was in a hospital for 48 hours because of it, and the doctor says it might not be that, but it's like bipolar symptoms, but related to stress or something. Have you heard of something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the psych testing is was clear and well done, and you were not using chemicals around that time, that's good evidence of what you got. And if it's in your family, some of your family have bipolar?
Yeah, my aunt has it.
All right, so there's reason to believe. Got a lot of good evidence here adding up. Plus, you sort of presented like it, and we've got a 2-to-1 panel discussion here. The 2-to-1 doctor surveyed, said you got it.
Good enough.
All right.
You got it.
Yeah.
All right, take some medication. Get one of them straight jackets, padded room. Walk around with a hockey helmet on. It's all right. What do you do? Just get some medication, right? Mm-hmm. You're fine. I mean, 20 years ago, you're screwed, right? 30 years ago?
Yeah, there's a lot of great medicine now, in fact.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No better time to be bipolar.
So far.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Caught that sniper today, Drew.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we don't really talk about too much on the show that happened outside of the studio.
What was the final of the Angels game?
Unless it happened to me.
Wasn't too good.
Oh, I don't know. 15, 14, 15?
14?
I don't know. I turned it off in the eighth, but it's 14, 15.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, Angels been around for like 42 years.
Mm-hmm.
I felt really bad because the Angels, I think it was 87, looked like they were heading to the World Series. And then the pitcher gave up the home run. And then the guy in Donnie, can't think of his last name, ended up killing himself later.
Mm.
He like shot his wife and then he killed himself. Mm. It's a big deal. You know, so the Angels, you know, it'd been nice. And, you know, they still can win two in Anaheim.
And they're in the World Series, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's good. It's a win-win type situation for them, but they got to win two in a row in Anaheim. But I'll tell you, as of yesterday, when the Angels, Giants won the first game, Angels won the next two, and the Angels won up 3 or 4 to nothing yesterday, maybe second or third inning, I said,
That's it.
They're up a game. They're up 3-4 runs. That's it. They're gonna have to go back to Anaheim and win one.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, they're screwed.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. That's why they play the game, Drew. That's why they play it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mark?
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. What's up? You're 21.
Yeah, I've been having these problems the last couple of days here. I've been you know, going to take my morning crap and, like, I don't know, it smells like herb hella bad, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
No, I'm serious, dude, really.
Well, you smoke a lot of pot?
Yeah, I live in Washington, and we got some pretty stinky stuff, but, I mean, like, my mom's a nurse and stuff, and I asked her, and she, like, she didn't know what it was from. I was wondering maybe Dr. Drew did, because, you know.
Hold on a second.
How did that conversation go? Mom?
When your son goes, hey, man, I took a hell of Duke, and it smelled like herb, and he's 21, you just have to kill yourself.
Yes.
This is why.
No, why, Mom? Why is that happening?
As a parent, I'm going to keep the cyanide capsule in my cheek.
Yeah.
So just keep the Nazi cyanide capsule in my cheek. And if I walk in on my daughter giving some 22-year-old guy a BJ when she's 14, I chomp down.
Can we just even just line the house with explosives and just take the whole thing out?
You mean take your kid out?
Take
your family?
Well,
a lot of people have pets.
Don't leave anything behind with society.
What about pets?
Yeah,
right. They're innocent. They didn't do anything. All right, Mark.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen. We don't know. We don't care.
No way. I got another problem though.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right. That's good.
No doubt.
True. Just because I'm a bit of a masochist. You want to hear what Mark's other problem is?
All right.
Just because I don't care. Go ahead, Mark.
All right. What you want to really know is I went into the bathroom the other day, like down at the beach here. I was like gonna go surfing, you know. I, like, took a crap, and, like, the soul guy came in, and he, like, tried to bust me for smoking weed, dude.
Oh, gnarly!
What guy?
What? The guy that comes into, like, the bathroom to clean him and stuff.
All
right. He's all, dude, what the hell? I was like, I just took a crap, dude.
All right there, buddy. What do you do? Work at a video store?
No, dude. I make surfboards.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, yes.
Mark, you got to wear one of those dust masks when you work.
I do, man.
Oh, no.
I think my cartridges are a little bit low.
Yeah. You got to change out the cartridges on your Binks respirator.
Oh, yeah?
All right, buddy.
Inhaling a little too many hydrocarbon.
Resin fumes. Get into your brain. Andrew?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey, I was wondering, those Burger King commercials you did?
Yeah.
Did you get any free food for them?
No.
Why not?
Because they said, you want free burgers, you want $450,000.
Oh.
So I took the money.
But they didn't give you burgers anyway?
No.
You can go buy the burgers.
I could use some of the money they gave me to buy burgers.
Oh.
I think.
Is that all right, Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have taken the burgers, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not how it works. I mean,
it's 14.
No. This question comes up a lot where people want to know if they paid you in pickles or those little ketchup packets or if every time you guys ate lunch on the set, it was nothing but Burger King. No, I didn't see so much as a Burger King fry on any of those things. Here's how it works, everybody. Burger King is the client. The client talks to an advertising agency. That advertising agency does everything from Ford commercials to Pepsi commercials, Mitsubishi commercials. And then they do everything. And then the Burger King guy, Drew, what are you doing there? You got to open the
envelope? I'm listening.
Got to open the envelope during the speech?
I didn't think it would make a huge crackling noise.
You have to put it up to the mic and open it up. Drew doesn't even know it, but he like every night he plays like mystery sound.
Uh-huh.
What is this? This is the sound of a coffee mug colliding with a microphone. Okay. The point is Burger King is nowhere to be found. They got one guy from a corporate office in Florida. He sits around and says nothing. You make your commercials, you go home.
All right, but Whoppers cost a buck a piece, right?
Whoppers
if
a buck
spent
a piece.
All your cash on nothing but Whoppers, how many Whoppers would you have?
450,000.
Well, no, because they're 99 cents a piece.
Oh, so you'd have more.
Plus tax. Minus tax.
Every 99, I could get another one.
Well, that way you got to pay your agent. You got to pay.
Oh, yeah. You got agents. You got the tax man. You got
they all get burgers, right?
Yeah. I'd be lucky if I got 200,000 burgers out of the deal. But here's the thing. I wouldn't take them all at once because they would get cold. I would take it like 250 at a time. Eat about 250 a day for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Amber.
Do you like taters?
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's up, Amber?
You're 18.
Yeah. I started sleeping with my boyfriend about 4 months ago, and I was a virgin before him. And ever since then, my periods have been getting later and later every month. And they don't last as long as they ought to.
What are you guys using for birth control?
We're using condoms.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Drew?
Nothing specific about that. You were very regular before that?
I was, like, extremely regular. I haven't been late since I started when I was 12.
Have you had any pelvic pain or anything?
No.
That's just you. I don't think that necessarily means anything.
No, should she go to the gynecologist?
Yeah, I mean, now that you're having sex.
I don't have insurance, and Planned Parenthood said they'd give me birth control, and that's it. And I'm like...
Well, but when they do the birth control, they also will do a pap smear on you.
They will?
Usually, each independent Planned Parenthood is somewhat different. But, yeah, I mean, it's before they give you a prescription like that, they would be doing routine kinds of health screening, which would include a pap smear. And you need that now that you're sexually active.
Okay.
And if there was something really wrong, they would refer you somewhere else.
I just had an idea, Drew.
All right. Oh, this could be good.
Yeah. I was thinking about the sniper today.
Mm-hmm.
They caught the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little stories about, his neighbors who were over in Washington before he went to the Maryland area, I guess. Used to live there. He used to complain a lot of gunshots and stuff like that.
The neighbors complained.
Nice. Although, I don't think they called the cops on the guy. Sometimes you're a little hesitant to call the cops on a guy with a gun who lives next door to you. But him and his son, or his sort of adopted son, the guy was like from Jamaica or something. The 17-year-old guy was traveling with him. You don't know any of this, Drew?
I heard it sort of secondhand.
It was like the guy's like 42. He's an ex-military guy. He wasn't a sniper in the military, but he did get the expert marksman. Basically, he got to hit like 38 out of 40 targets from anywhere from like 50 yards to 300 yards or meters or whatever.
Right.
But the thing about it is this guy sort of had a history of run-ins. Well, domestic problems. He had a few ex-wives who said this guy was violent,
wow.
made a few threats.
Mm.
Nothing real egregious, just some this and some that. Here's my plan. You know, here's what the DMV does with your license. They give you points. You get a couple points for a speeding ticket.
Good idea.
You get a 502 or a DUI. You get a couple more points. You get reckless driving. You get a few more points. Now, you get a ticket for rolling through a four-way stop. You get like 1 point. But you try to outrun a cop or something. Maybe you get 5 points.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I want all our citizens to be kind of on the point system.
It seems to me that somebody could study a large population and figure out what point threshold after which somebody becomes really a risk.
Or at least to the point we have to keep an eye on them.
Really a risk. And that once you cross that threshold, however you got there, you got there.
Well, that's the way the DMV works, which is you get over, and I'm just making this up because I can't remember all these rules from back when, but you get over X amount of points a year, you get your license taken away. And my thing is, now, if you go 3 years or a few years, some of the points start falling off.
Right.
3-4 years, stuff falls off, just like it does with your insurance, that kind of stuff. I'd like to enact this for all human beings, for everything. Only as it pertains to things of a violent nature.
You get it for your loan applications? Your credit record?
You get it for everything.
Everything.
Everything that has to do with society, except for the part where you kill other people.
Now a light bulb just went off in my head. We need it.
Hold on, that's my light bulb.
Okay, it's your light bulb, but it's going off in my head.
Okay, go ahead.
That as you come upon someone, you get rated in relationships.
Okay, you know what I mean? Now, you're making a mockery of my
idea.
No,
it'll be great. You know what I mean?
No.
No, okay.
Okay, I don't care about relationships because people don't get killed with hunting rifles from long distances on rare occasion.
Or maybe parenting. You get grading, like your school grades you on parenting.
Okay, I'll go with the parenting grade.
There you go.
And the grade, if it's not over a certain grade, you don't get to have more kids.
Yeah.
But here's the dealio. I don't care about nonviolent crimes. I don't care about you getting a ticket for taking a leak on your front lawn. I don't care about a ticket for you getting popped with a dime bag of weed. But I'm talking about you get a little aggravated assault, maybe a couple domestic disputes. You got an ex-wife who wants a restraining order, co-worker wants a restraining order, fired from a job because there was a little violence on the job place. All that stuff that these guys always sort of have or almost always sort of have in their build-up to the part where they start sniping on people.
Right.
You get enough of those, you get to a certain number, we tag you.
Or, you know.
Here's the point. They start dissecting this guy's past the last 10 years. It's like, yeah, he got into it with this guy. Then he threatened that guy. Then he told his ex-wife he's going to blow up the house. Then he went over here and got in it with that guy. This is over the last few years. And as you start looking at it, a pattern starts emerging. And you go, Now, the point is this guy just traveling around with a gun in his trunk. And we don't know him. We're not looking at him any closer than we're looking at anybody. I'd like to look at these people.
How dare you?
Yes.
Your profile.
That's right.
How dare you?
Big brother. And here's the deal, everybody. You don't get profiled until you put yourself into the profile by threatening your ex-wife. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm running for president. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. What you going for is Halloween, Drew, for Halloween.
I was just telling our assistant producer, Lauren, that I am just not into dressing up anymore. I mean, last time I did that, I swear to God, that was just it. I mean, you can't go anywhere beforehand. You can't get anywhere afterwards. It's uncomfortable. It's makeup. It's weird. It's just, no.
Don't. You don't have to do the satanic clown who was attacked in the face by a woodpecker. You know, these people that go nuts with their outfits where there's, by the end of the night, they're drunk and they've been sweating because they're dancing. Oh, what time is it? Drew whacked the mic with his mug. Oh, 43 minutes into the show. That's a new record for you, Drew. It becomes a pain in the ass.
Yes.
But here's the way to go. put on a pair of boots and a pair of denim jeans and a cowboy hat and you pass yourself
or,
off.
Yeah,
like
I was thinking just wear some sweats or something and I don't know.
Sweats?
Something. Somebody that's wear something comfortable.
That's by the way, the sweatsuit becomes the cop-out outfit of the guys not really into Halloween. The
guy, sign me up.
Rubber mask with the Adidas sweatsuit.
There you go.
Sweatsuit.
There you go. Now
and then,
we're talking.
And then 5 minutes in the party, he's wearing the mask up on his head, so he's drinking and smoking, and now basically you got a guy in a sweatsuit.
Sign me up.
Don't be that guy, Drew.
Oh, Adam.
Just come on. Go get something. You got something?
No.
Here are my tips for the fellas. Halloween, good holiday to meet ladies. They dress slutty. They get drunk. They start sort of getting into their outfit.
Right, becoming their outfit.
Well, it's very true that if you give a guy an outfit and you put him in a little gladiator outfit or you make him look like a tough biker or something, he starts walking around with his chest puffed out. You know what I mean? You start feeling like a tough guy.
Yeah.
You dress a guy in a pair of angel wings and a Speedo, he doesn't walk around with his chest puffed out. So you take a girl, you put her in that French maid outfit or that Playboy bunny outfit or something like that. She starts slutting it up a little bit. Booze starts flowing. People always out for the night, you know?
You keep bringing up the alcohol thing, boy. You seem to...
Oh, it works.
You miss that or
what? I'm just saying for the guys, get an outfit that looks good on you. Chicks like a uniform. You know, be a cop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You gotta dress as a cop. Then you get to start doing that whole cop thing. You meet some chick and it's like, I'm gonna have to take you downtown. Do a little questioning. You've been a naughty girl, but you know what? No, I cut you a deal. I'll look the other way, but I'm gonna need a little information. Don't make me get these handcuffs out. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Play it up a little bit.
I'm there.
As a single guy, this is your best holiday to have a crack at women.
Drew, just put on some latex gloves, a little blood.
Yeah.
Come on, Drew. Gynecologist.
Yeah. Be like a evil gynecologist. Jen?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
What are you going as this weekend?
Oh.
You going to dress up?
I really don't know yet. I wanted to go as a bar wench.
Yeah, see? Right. Yeah. You'd be easy pickings.
Well, there you go.
Right. All right, so what's up? You got big jugs and a wide ass, right?
Hey, no.
Big jugs?
Yeah.
Bouncy. No wide ass on you?
No, not really a wide ass.
Medium wide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bar wench means, when I hear bar wench, I see big jugs and a wide ass.
I see the cleavage, yeah, completely.
But you get so focused on the cleavage, you forget about the ass.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not an ass woman.
Yeah.
Drew's
an ass man, though.
What's
going
on, Jen?
You know how he knows he's an ass man?
Oh.
Because whenever anyone brings up his name, they go, that Drew, he's an ass man. Yeah.
So harsh.
So funny. All right, Jen, what's going on there? Jen,
Hello?
Let's get to it. What's happening?
Okay. I'm 23. I'm a virgin. And I do masturbate on my own. As well as I use a vibrator every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Virgin? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Took a minute to sink in. 23 virgin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds a little embarrassed about that. Why? Why are you embarrassed?
Because I always wonder if people look at it more as like, oh, she can't get any.
Ah.
Or whether it's because it's by choice.
Is it by choice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Nobody, I don't know if you're talking about men or women, but...
Men
don't really look at she can't get any.
They know better.
Especially if they're trying to get some off of you.
Yeah.
Just look at it as good.
Well, then I always look at it the fact that guys probably don't want to date me because I won't probably put out.
Well, yeah, but do they all have to know you're virgin before you go out on a date with them?
No, not before you go out, but once you start dating, it comes up.
Well, but you find out whether it's a guy that you want to have stick around or not.
Yeah.
Why? Are you a religious person?
No.
Why are you a virgin?
I was raped when I was younger.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Good times.
So I just...
So you're not a virgin. You're just abstaining.
Well, true. You always do that, but I count that as a virgin.
No. I agree. Biologically, I'm not a virgin.
Well, I mean, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, who raped you?
It was a coworker, actually.
How old were you?
When I was 18.
No.
What happened before that?
What?
Were you physically abused growing up or something?
Yeah, I was sexually abused twice.
Growing up.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And what happened with this coworker?
It was a date rape type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend was actually there, which sucked.
At the same time?
He was outside. He was, like, outside the bedroom.
Doing what?
Oh, you know, Drew.
Breaking leaves.
Your wife's on, your girlfriend's on a date. You're standing outside the bedroom. Curious.
Well, no, it wasn't a date rape in that sense. Like, it's not like I was out on a date with another guy. It was a party, and I knew him. And, like, my boyfriend was there and all. And he took me into the bedroom. And my boyfriend was sitting out there on the couch. And he heard the screams and everything.
Heard the screams. Now, if you'd been sexually abused when you were younger, you wouldn't scream. You just sort of freeze.
You freeze, yeah.
Yeah, so you had the freeze reaction. That's what this guy knew you would do. That's why he pulled this off.
But
I wouldn't say that he knew that I'd freeze, though.
These guys know it.
Wait a minute, I thought you said you were screaming.
No, I screamed some, but no, I do agree that I froze.
Yeah, he wouldn't be screaming. So why do you bring the boyfriend about screaming when you weren't screaming?
No, he did hear some stuff going on that I was upset and that I had yelled no, or that I had said no and stuff like that.
Well, what do you think he was doing?
He was pissed off. Pissed off at me.
That
he
you were even...
It was my fault.
So he was angry with you for going in there with him?
No, he forced me in there.
The boyfriend?
No, my boyfriend didn't force me in there. The guy that this happened with.
I know he did, but your boyfriend, why was he pissed off?
He was pissed off at me for being in there, for putting myself in, I guess, that situation or something.
He was pissed off while he could... Okay. While he's hearing you scream from the next room,
he saw you being physically forced in the room, and he got mad at you?
Yeah, he didn't see me forced into the room. So I think he thought that I was just in there and getting it on with this guy, and then I don't know what went through his head when he heard, you know, that I was upset, obviously, because I was crying.
Afterwards?
Well, during, too. During,
yeah, sure.
And,
Did you have this guy prosecuted, or did you do anything about this? No.
Now, here's the thing. Hold on. See, Drew, when somebody gets sexually abused when they're young,
mm-hmm.
they just get scrambled.
Yes.
Reality becomes just like a whirling dervish mind.
In their interpersonal, when they're faced with interpersonal stress, it becomes, you can't tell what reality is. It's just impossible.
No, yeah. She's screaming or she's frozen like a deer in the headlights. This guy was angry. The boyfriend heard her scream, didn't do anything. I'd love to talk to the boyfriend and hear his side of the story.
But it's all sort of colored by the recapitulation of her past when undoubtedly her dad knew that she was being abused or something and she expected him to rescue and so on.
Jen.
No, that did happen when I was younger, too.
What happened?
Well, the fact that I was being abused and I went to my parents.
And they ignored you.
Friend. And my mom just kind of said, well, stay away from him.
And so you see how this is a recapitulation of that trauma, too. And
oh,
so,
exactly.
So who knows really what your boyfriend experienced. You experienced something sort of
whatever.
a recurrence of the past.
Therapy, baby.
Oh, believe me. I know.
Okay.
I understand that one.
Are you doing that?
What?
Are you doing it?
Oh, I am doing therapy, yes. I have been in therapy before for it, too.
Good. All right. Yeah. All right, so use a vibrator.
Yes.
Are you sexually compulsive?
Sexually compulsive.
Yeah, do you masturbate a lot?
No, not a lot. It's like I do sometimes. Some weeks I will a lot, but then some weeks I won't at all.
Do you have violent fantasies when you masturbate?
No.
So you don't have any shame or stuff around that? You're not trying to recreate and master
No.
the... Okay, all right,
no.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you had a question about a vibrator.
Yeah, I was always, I'm curious if when I do finally have sex, whether that will have desensitized me.
No.
And probably not. It can a little bit, but you can always bring that in with you when the time comes. You know
yeah, first time around it's a little weird though. But Jen?
Yeah?
You got much bigger fish to fry than the vibrator fish. Which I caught a 14-pounder once. 14-pound vibrator fish, yeah. Was it in Baja?
The Badger or which rider?
It's called the Eliminator.
Oh, 14-pound Eliminator.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll show you that picture of me on the dock hanging it off the scale.
Of course.
It's great.
It was nearly your height.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been quite a fight.
Yeah, put up quite a fight. Then the D-cell batteries ran down, and I was able to gaff it on board. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Uh-huh.
Your 15-year-old girlfriend wants to have a threesome with two other men?
Yeah, with two other men, yeah.
You and two other men, or just two other men and her?
Two other men and her and me.
So three men.
Yeah.
So a foursome.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt, you're 14?
Uh-huh.
Jesus, effing Christ.
Yeah.
When'd you hit puberty, like 7?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, Matt, hang on.
All right.
All right.
Oh, boy.
What's this guy, professional wrestler? He's 14. Okay, I know his girlfriend's a mess, but we'll get back to Matt and that after that.
Ooh, maybe.
Hey, yeah. Woo! Tell you what, we got a show, Drew. Show. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam. That's my partner. I think people laugh when they talk. It's my good partner, Dr. Drew. Yeah, lightning round. Yeah. No, I don't got any. I'm pre-tired. I'm getting up at 3:30. And no engineers coming over the house. I got to hook it up myself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dicey.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing a little broadcasting from my house tomorrow about 3:40. Well, about 4.
Did you buy the Zephyr? Are you releasing it? What are you doing?
Yeah, I bought all the equipment.
Wow.
I'm going to do the Stern show tomorrow. Here's my plan. Get up 3:30, make a cup of coffee, go in the office, try to fire up the equipment. Do a little test in a microphone, flip a few switches, and then just urinate all over the equipment and go back to bed.
I have an idea.
Fire breaks out.
You know how
I don't care.
You hate this studio?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot it from your house.
I'll
come over there.
Would you?
Guests can come over. Just make a nice little room for us. It'd be great. Are you kidding?
I don't want a lot of the people to come on the show in my house.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
We can trade off. Some weeks in my house, some weeks in your house. Trade back and forth.
Guys from Jackass. You know what I mean? I come home one night, they're doing a bunch of blow in the living room. They got some of their friends there. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
See that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're just having a flashback.
That's right. All right.
I don't want to talk to Matt. I got a more important call to deal with.
All right. Yeah. John?
Hello.
You're 49?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, first of all, Drew and Adam, I appreciate you both very much. You guys give a lot of good advice to a lot of people, and
thanks.
I've never made a call like this before, and I'm a nervous wreck, even though I can't see you, and I'm afraid I'll stumble over my own words.
But no, you're doing good.
Don't worry about it.
I'm at work, and I listen a lot, and I've got a wife. That's, we've been together for 18 years, and she just turned 36. She's got a heroin problem. We've got a 15-year-old daughter, and we don't live together. We've been married, divorced, and remarried.
Wow.
You got married the first time when she was 18 and you were 31?
No, she was 25, and, when we were first married, you know, she got pregnant. We got married.
Oh,
15.
Don't do it.
16 years.
The math doesn't quite work out right, but go ahead. It's all right.
She's 36 now.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Married 18 years.
Yes. No. Well, when she got pregnant, my daughter just turned 15, so we got married 16 years ago. Well, roughly 15 and a half years ago.
All right. Nice.
Getting closer.
And she's a great girl. She's all right. The sweetest kid.
Okay, this your daughter or your...
My wife.
Your wife, okay.
And she was just the sweetest... She was a sweetheart, you know?
Okay.
And we've been through a lot together in 18 years, and we're still together. And when we were separated, we've been separated many times because people have ins and outs. And
John, try to stay focused on what it is we can do to help tonight. What's up?
Well, she one of the times when she was living on her own, she started hanging with her uncle, who was a dealer, and she started coming over to my house with you know, needles and you know.
All right, so she's a junkie.
Well, she wasn't at the time, but she had that mentality.
She is a junkie. You better get that through your head. Right now, today, she's a junkie.
She wasn't born a junkie, though, Drew.
I know. She came out with a needle in her arm. No, she's a junkie. All right, so what about that?
Well, I'm no better. I mean, I went through this myself in the 70s.
So you're a junkie.
And I was clean for 20 years.
You were clean for 20 years.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, I'm not a whole lot better. I'm just trying real hard to pull it all together.
So you're both heroin addicted?
At this moment, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, all you can do is take care of you right now. And that, you know, until you get better and get sober and get in a program and get with it, you certainly aren't going to be able to help her.
Where do you work?
Well, geez, I can't possibly say that, can I?
Well, what kind of work do you do?
It's highly responsible, sometimes dangerous work. But I'm very cognizant of that, and I'm, you know, I would never...
Air traffic controller.
I just know I'm hearing like big
generators.
Generators in the background.
Works a nuclear power plant.
All right.
Yeah, well, you're right there. This is an office, and there's a. I can't avoid the noise. It's close by.
All right. Relax.
And so you know.
No, not nuclear power plant though, right?
No.
Generator though. All right. That's John.
Yeah.
I agree with Drew. You want to help your daughter. You want to help your wife. It's very convenient to focus on them and try to figure out ways to help them while you're still a junkie.
Exactly.
You got to clean yourself up, then you can help them.
Or not help them, but maybe at least set an example.
Either way.
Yeah, but no matter what, nothing's going to work until you work on you and start getting better. You got to, you know, find yourself a treatment program, find one that you can afford, get detoxed, stay somewhere for 3 to 6 months, and that's it.
Don't give him the 3 to 6 months yet, Drew. Just tell him to get...
He might be able to still work, and you just got to get off, get with the program, let's go.
All right.
Get a sponsor, start the step work.
All right. And I think what John is doing is addicts are very... they're cunning.
Oh, yeah.
They figure out ways to keep doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they want to even look responsible and caring and nurturing and still do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
He's focusing on his daughter and his wife. He's a junkie, too.
Yeah, and there are people that would say that harm avoidance strategies might be the way to go, get on methadone, that sort of thing. And for some, situation...
If you got a real good job with a lot of responsibility, there's got to be programs involved with that.
Ideally, I think putting people on methadone, I'm of the opinion, it makes people chronically ill. I've seen just awful situations. These people are not normal when they're on methadone.
Yeah.
And it's an opportunity to get completely, really be better than you ever knew you could be in recovery. So
Matt,
there you go.
Matt?
Yep.
14.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend wants a threesome.
With you and guys.
Two other guys.
Yeah. I really want to do it because it's with three other guys.
Well, now it's three other guys. Okay, now she wants
two other guys. How old is your girlfriend?
She's 15.
Has she ever done anything like this before?
No, we've only had sex two other times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does she know the two guys she wants?
Yeah, they're her friends, but...
And she suggested this to you?
Yeah, I'm wondering what I should do because I don't really want to do it because I'm not gay or anything, but...
Uh-huh. Here's the situation. I'll give you two options here, Matt. This is three. A, you are really gay. B, this is a bogus call. Or C, you have a girlfriend that's seriously screwed up.
Yeah.
So maybe you should hope it's a bogus call. It'd be good, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a screwed up girlfriend on your hands.
Yeah.
Is it a bogus call?
No, she's kind of screwed up.
Kind of screwed up.
Yeah, she's very screwed up.
Yeah.
Matt, you're not using any protection, are you, when you have sex?
Oh, yeah, I am.
What are you using?
Condom.
Oh. I thought he was using, I was predicted he's using one of those gold nugget chewing gum bags. Those little pouches, the gold nugget chewing gum comes in.
A little cinch at the top.
Pulling that over his penis and tightening about halfway down. For me, I think I could stuff my balls in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be a nice look, wouldn't it?
Chiclets.
Stuff your balls in one of those gold nugget chewing gum packets, and just next time you drop your pants, give the old lady a thrill. Yeah. Matt?
Yeah?
Don't get her pregnant.
Yeah, I'll try
no orgies. All right. Yeah, yeah. All right, buddy. Oh, my God. It's got to be a nightmare. Imagine having a young man, 14, got that bad teenage mustache.
Huh.
You know it's a good look? You know it's a good look that teenage boys get? The bad teenage mustache with zits.
Oh.
You know the zits and mustache look?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a tough look. The teenage mustache is not a cultivated mustache. It's just, I don't know how to shave.
Right.
I never thought about shaving before.
Just sort of grows.
Just sort of there, and I'm not sure what to do with it. It becomes like a beard on an old black woman. It's like, I don't want this. I just don't know what to do about it, and I don't think anyone notices.
Think if you were an anthropologist from Mars, and you land on this planet, and you watch the human female develop through adolescence and young adulthood, and then you watch the male. And think how, like, well, the female blossoms into reproductive prime, and the male sort of...
turns into a spaz. Like a circus geek.
Hoping to, meet a powerful figure in the community at someday and raise his prospects and meet on the field of battle with other males.
You see those people that have the moles that have the hair hanging off them, like if there's some kind of law or it's against a religion to actually clip the hair? Old guys with the eyebrows, the old black women with the beards. What is that with the old black women who have the beards? They got, like, the chin hair on them. What is that? What's up with the old black women and the chin hair?
Well, there's lots of old people that get hair. And they just, yeah. And it's it's usually overweight. It's usually...
Yeah. Why overweight?
Because the adipose tissue, I believe, is converting the estrogen to testosterone. That's how that works.
When a guy's overweight, doesn't he start producing more estrogen?
Yeah.
So when a woman gets overweight...
Or maybe it's the excess estrogen gets converted to testosterone. Somehow they get a little extra androgen flying around.
Yeah, it's always bad times. It's always overweight. It's always chick. It's usually black chick. But I'm talking about 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
And then they just aren't aware. They aren't seeing so good. They don't really see it.
Don't care.
Don't see it.
Moles with the hair growing out. Mm-hmm. Teenagers with the zits and the mustache. Oh. Linda?
Yeah, hi.
You're 27?
Yeah.
What's up?
Am I on the radio?
Yeah.
I had an experience lately, and when I told a friend about it, they said it sounded like a acid flashback.
Have you done acid?
And I did acid a long time ago, like 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's not the first time that these experiences have happened. And it starts with, like, the hearing, and, like, everything sounds muffled.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vision goes, and, like everything's in slow motion, and I feel really sick. And one of these times when I had these experiences, like, I actually collapsed. I just totally passed out.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't pass out for long, because they tried to pick me up, And I came back, too.
Linda, this could be anything.
Yeah,
this could be...
Probably not the answer.
This could be a cardiac problem. This could be a seizure. I mean, you should sort of start with the cardiac workup and see if you're having rhythm problems that's causing your blood pressure to plummet. Or maybe, I mean, tumors. All kinds of things can cause this. You need to see someone immediately.
Okay.
This may not have anything to do with the LSD.
You're 27. What do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
What grade?
A fourth.
Yeah, that's nice. You cute?
Average looking, plain.
Mm-hmm. All right. Nothing wrong with you. Really?
Linda?
Yeah.
I guess. I guess I need to see a doctor.
Yeah, I thought you were having an episode right there.
Yeah, see a doctor, would you?
It may be the LSD, but I doubt it. It's more likely to be something else.
Oh, yeah. Unless you're a serious lightweight. Hey, she did it as a teenager?
Mm-hmm. You know, flashbacks. But flashbacks usually are changes in thinking and or visual disturbances.
Yeah.
You kind of know. You tend to be kind of aware that something's going wrong. It's not you don't pass out.
Right. Yeah, we never talked to anyone who passed
collapsing.
Out.
I mean, that's syncope. It's something different.
Joe?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Yes, I got a bit of a problem. My penis is burning, but it's a little bit of history, too. For the last couple months, my vas deferens, I think they're called, on my right side, have been puffing up.
How do you know that?
Because I feel it.
What do you feel? Has anybody trained you how to feel a vas deferens, cord?
That's the cord that hooks to your...
So you can feel the cord is thickening. You can feel the spermatic cord.
Yes, I can feel when I feel whatever the cord that's hooked to your balls. I think they're called a vas deferens.
Well, it's the spermatic cord you're feeling.
Okay, yeah.
What's a vas deferens?
It's one of the things in the cord.
All right.
All right, so I feel that, and it's swollen up a little bit. And it'll only do it for a couple hours, and only do it every couple weeks or something. Well, I went and saw a urologist last week about it.
Okay.
He couldn't. It was swollen down by the time I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't figure out what it was.
Did he put you on antibiotics?
But no, I'm going to see take some tests next week.
All right, it's probably something called epididymitis or maybe prostatitis. It's
okay. But that's not my question, though. That's part of that's just a little background. Well, the other day I went and did some chicken, and right afterwards. I don't know, about a half hour later, it was burning. I don't know if it was something to do with my problem before and just a coincidence, or if it could be something.
It could be a new STD, or it could be related to the problem before, and the problem before could be an STD.
What kind of STD could that be?
Gonorrhea, non-gonococcal urethritis, all the sorts of, you know, the usual infections that cause...
Are they treatable?
Yeah, highly treatable. And
no, you die.
Yeah, they should. You need to say, because it's sort of ascended into the higher parts of the male genital tract that you've got there, you'll need to take a longer course of antibiotics, and you may have recurrent symptoms, but it's something that's quite treatable.
Ascended means got in through the penis and made its way down to the sac? Or
ascending
up?
Meaning up into the...
Well, ascend means up, but...
Upstream.
But it's in the sac.
It's still upstream.
So it goes up and loops around?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Let's go back the phone. Speak to Anna, 22. Anna?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, stop.
Ooh.
Yeah, hold on. Okay. Sexual abuse, age 6.
Okay, 5.
Okay. Anna?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, it kind of all started when I was 14. I was raped. And
no, what happened before that?
Nothing.
Hmm?
No.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You a small person?
Yeah.
What size are you?
5 foot.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you weigh?
Like 120.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. She's like a small person. She sounds like someone who's small in stature. And I'm.
Oh no!
I don't hear so much a little girl, but it's definitely it's a pixie voice. But I don't know if it's a little girl voice.
I'll try to talk deeper.
No, that's all right. Nothing happened before you're 14.
Nothing.
No physical abuse. Dad was a great guy.
Yeah. My mom and dad got divorced. But
when you were how old?
4.
And why?
They just didn't work out.
You don't know why?
No, not really.
And your dad's stayed in your life since?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
All right.
He's actually lived out of state right now, but he's been in my life the whole time.
Okay, so who raped you when you were 14?
I don't know, some stranger.
All right.
And what happened?
It's at school.
What happened?
I was at school. And I was walking home from school, but it was later because I had just gotten done from soccer practice.
Wow.
And so it was, like, actually in part of the school,
mm-hmm.
but I was walking home, so
okay.
It wasn't, like, you know.
The guy jumped out of a car kind of thing?
No, he was, like, kind of in it at the time of year that it was, it's, like, when it gets darker earlier. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually walking to meet somebody, and... It was kind of, like, dark, and I didn't see it, and I didn't see it till after he was in front of me.
Okay.
Or like, so, anyways, he raped me, and I started having recurring dreams, like I'm reliving the rape.
Sure.
And that had happened, like, a lot.
Okay.
And then it went away, and then, you know, every once in a while it would come back. But now, my recurring dreams, actually I have two problems. My recurring dreams are now my boyfriend hurting me, not the rapist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, is that normal?
It's not normal, but it's a common kind of a reaction. It's really all in the sort of spectrum of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Do you get a little therapy for this?
Yeah, I actually went and saw somebody for a little while, and it got a lot better. I'm actually thinking about going back. Because
time to go back, definitely. Definitely.
Now, like, the worst part about it is that I have, like, kind of like what I would call daydreams, where I can, like, I don't know, it's like where I can just see the rape happening.
Yeah, flashbacks. They're flashbacks.
Yeah, but it's happening during sex.
Yeah. Well, yeah, these flashbacks and dissociation and panic attacks, this is all part of the post-traumatic stress disorder from a trauma like this. It also suggests you might have been traumatized earlier also, frankly.
Not really.
That sort of follows on the heels of a previous trauma. Not that this was the kind of rape that usually sets people up for that kind of thing. I mean, this was sort of a random violent rape.
Well, what happened? Where did the guy rape you?
Like I said, it was at school. It was, like, in one of the, like, our school had this, like, alley, and not this alley, but, like, had a parking lot in the back where, the like, some of the teachers parked, and it was kind of right there. And there was no one around because it was, you know, 5 o'clock, 5:30 at night after I'd gotten...
Were you screaming bloody murder and people didn't come?
No, because he put a gun to my head and said, don't.
Oh, okay. All right, so there we go.
That's trauma. Did they catch the guy?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
But there for a while, like... They think that he was actually, it was me and three other girls within, like, miles of each other that he had raped, but he knew all three of us.
Wow.
He would call us by our name.
Oof. Where'd he know all three of you from?
We don't know.
Oh, my God.
They think that he was either stalking us and we didn't know it, or he had, we don't know. Yeah. I've never seen this man in my life, and I didn't know him, so.
How spooky.
But,
oh, awful.
All right. Well, listen, the chance of this happening again to you, or, like,
20%.
No. Like getting hit by lightning again.
No.
You're fine. You got out of the way. Me, I'm waiting to be raped.
But Anna,
I know it's around the next corner.
These experiences you're having are rather typical of post-traumatic stress disorder, and there are very effective treatments out there. Please will take advantage of that. There's no reason to suffer with this. And it's something that can become generalized and become sort of fixed and problematic and ongoing, and you can sort of start engaging in behaviors which you can't control. This is the kind of thing that makes women go out and start having sex with lots of partners that are sort of abusive, and they wonder why they do that.
Yeah.
Those sort of dissociative experiences that they recreate.
I never figure out how these guys can, like, rape in a parking lot.
Yeah. Or with a you know, somebody who's fighting. Imagine that.
Well, I mean, I understand you put a gun to someone's head and they calm down a little bit, but we rarely hear about the gun to the head. We just say, you know, the guy, he overpowered me kind of thing. Listen, I mean, I couldn't imagine. You know, my wife's mom's a little bit loony, you know. One time we had to take her to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Had to call the cops, throw her in the ambulance, get her to the hospital. 70-year-old woman kicking and scratching and screaming.
Cops.
Albeit she's Italian, so it gives her the strength of 10. But took two big cops. I mean, that's just a wrestler, you know, into an ambulance.
Right.
That's a rape. Are you kidding me? I don't know how you do this. You'd have to be a goddamn octopus.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, how many hands do you got?
But it's why the rapists or guys like that pick women that freeze. Because the people that dissociate, people have been traumatized, they get a freeze reaction. They just do their thing.
You would just have to. Because if you're kicking and screaming, I mean, the guy'd have to just whack you with a 2x4 or something. Or put a gun to your head.
Right.
But still, like, in a parking lot? You know, well, school, you know, it's 5 o'clock. Teacher's parking lot? You know what I mean? Like, I can't focus. I couldn't do it on the balcony of a hotel without, like, being distracted.
Oh, my
thinking
God.
People were looking. Like, it would be a horrible distraction.
How about
for
just
me.
inside the balcony, curtains
open? Just
open
the curtains, open the thing. Yeah, it'd be like, what's going on? Is someone looking? This is confusing. It's distracting. But they like that. I guess that's the point.
But the really interesting is how do they know? How many people have you heard of walking into that? That never happens.
Right.
They never get caught. And yet, oh, it's Central Park. It's at school. I mean, that's that. Talk about cunning.
Oh, no.
How do they time that?
Friend of mine, Dave Craven, stopped a rapist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Got Citizen of the Year in Santa Monica.
Oh.
Kept the guy in a headlock until the cops showed up.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, might as well tell the story.
Yeah.
And we got to take a break.
No.
I'll tell the story when we get back.
All right.
This guy's the biggest criminal I know, by the way. But
the guy who hit the rapist, got the rapist.
Dave,
yeah.
Citizen of the Year. got a badge from Kent McCord from
Adam
12. That's what I love. It's like, and this guy plays a cop on TV. So he's here to bestow you. This is, what that? That only goes on in L.A., doesn't it?
Yeah.
They have, in other cities, they have mayors give you stuff, right? We get the TV cop. All right, we'll be. I'll tell you this story when we come back. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So my buddy Dave. Dave, I went to junior high with. Actually, I went to met him in grade school.
This guy. This the Dave, the guy you work in your house and stuff.
Yeah, this guy looked like the cartoon villain.
Yeah.
He looked like the
huge calves.
He looked like the construction worker from the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Absolutely, precisely.
This guy was Dave. Dave won about 5'9" and a half, 5'10", about 245.
Yeah.
Didn't lift weights and wasn't fat.
Yeah.
Wasn't rippling muscle, just thick.
Uh-huh.
And Dave was thrown out of the military, thrown out of the Navy for beating a commanding officer with a shoe in a bar in San Francisco because the guy wouldn't give up the payphone.
Oh, did he know it was the commanding officer?
No.
Oh.
He was out of uniform. So.
Huh. Oh, just bad luck.
Just bad luck. Dave has worked for me for many years, and you know, we've had a heated relationship.
Really?
He ordered some things out of the Sears catalog for himself on my credit card once.
Good time.
Yeah, you know. But anyway.
What'd you say?
I don't know. I you know, he was one of those, I was going to pay you back.
Yeah.
If you found out. A decent enough guy. But Dave's had an interesting past. But Dave was living in a little place in Santa Monica, and he used to park his car down the street because he had a bunch of warrants or something, and the meter maid was after him. And he was coming home, probably had a few drinks, walking down the alley, coming home 3 in the morning, and some chick was getting raped in the bushes.
Wow.
In the alley.
Oh, my God.
Feet, like, hanging out of the bushes kind of thing, you know? Dave piled in, God bless him. Got the dude in a headlock and wouldn't let go until the cops showed up. And
what, did she run and get the police?
I don't know. The neighbors called or, you know, heard the commotion or whatever. And dude had been in jail for like 25 years for rape. Been out for about 7 days.
Oh.
Just time to rape again. Huh. When aren't you going to rape? I mean, is there a better time to rape than after you've been cooped up for 20 years?
Mm, well.
You know what I'm saying? Plus, that's what you do. So anyway, the guy's back in the thing. And then Dave got Citizen of the Year in Santa Monica.
Wow.
And like I said, I don't know, Martin Milner or Kent McCord or one of the guys from Adam 12. Yeah. Hi, I'm Martin Milner. You know me as Captain... What the hell is his name on that show?
I cannot remember.
Yeah, I drove a police car with no rear view mirror in it that was actually attached to a flatbed truck for 3 years. So... I'm highly qualified to bestow this award of excellence and community merit on. So he gave the thing to Dave. Now, ironically, Dave's neighbor had a restraining order against him later. Dave was the guy who his neighbors called the cops on him for listening to the stereo too loud one night, but he was wearing headphones.
Oh my God!
By
wow.
the way, that. You know you're listening to music loud in your headphones when the neighbors call the cops on you and you're wearing headphones.
Wow.
Headphones. And it's not like the thing came unplugged from the jack or anything. He just, he liked to listen to punk rock. He liked it loud. Cops pounding on the door. He doesn't know it.
Of course not.
Sees the flashlight coming through his window.
Oh.
Listen to headphones. Sherry?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a bit of a problem. Actually, it's a little big problem for me. What happened, or what's happening, is for about 7 months now, like, my sex drive is almost not there. Like, and that sucks, being 19. You know what I mean?
Are you on a medication or birth control pills?
Yeah, I'm on birth control, and I thought that was it. So I started trying different types of birth control, and, like, I'm still in the same position.
Well,
also, like, if I somehow just start, you know, having sex, I can't orgasm.
Are you on any other medication besides birth control?
No, that's it. That's it.
Have you been checked out medically? Nothing else going on?
No, nothing else. I
Where was your libido at before. A year ago?
The same place it is now.
No, before it went down.
When she said, hold on. She thinks libido is a Milton Bradley game. It's like top shelf of the closet between Stratego and
same
Light.
Place, yeah.
Same place. I think I sawed off my libido and had it sewn on somewhere else. No, your sex drive.
It was way up high. Every day.
How long
twice,
ago?
Twice a day. 7 months ago. Months back.
Were you sexually abused at one time?
Yes.
Okay, well, after sexual abuse, it can go from very, very high to very, very low all of a sudden. Okay, that's part of the syndrome.
Okay, and how do I take care of that? I mean...
Well, what's going on that may have sort of caused things to plummet? Is there a relationship or some relationship stress? Or?
Well, we were having a couple problems, but it wasn't anything major. It was just little arguments. It wasn't nothing big to stress over.
Yeah, like, who sexually abused you?
3 people.
3?
Yeah.
In your family?
That's the sick part.
Yes. So take that as a yes.
But yeah, that's a yes.
Uncles, dads?
One uncle, 2 cousins, which I no longer had any contact with.
Good. Is this uncle the father of these 2 cousins?
You know what? One uncle is the father of one of my cousins, of one of the cousins.
And then the other cousin was just not from that family.
From my mom's side also.
No.
But just another family.
Is this the first time you've had a stable relationship or an ongoing relationship?
Yeah, pretty much.
This may be just what happens to you as you get closer in a relationship. It becomes uncomfortable for you. And you feel, you know, on some level you might feel overwhelmed. There's all kinds of fantasies that sort of get triggered by being close and intimate with someone, and maybe that.
Okay, yeah, but the thing is that I'm very comfortable with this, with my relationship right now. Like, I don't know how to. I guess maybe my question is, how can I kind of like get into it again? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the problem. Have you done any therapy or counseling for all this molestation?
I did therapy, but only for about a month because I found it more uncomfortable going.
I put in 5 years because my dad missed some Pop Warner football games.
Yeah, this would have to be for years, Sherry. And the uncomfortableness is exactly what needs to be uncovered.
Yeah.
And what were the birth control pills you took so far?
Norno. Or you want the name?
Yes.
It's Norno.
Not Trinorno.
No. Norno.
Keep going.
And I tried the Trinorno.
Okay.
That was just horrible because it made me really, really moody. I was a bit...
Okay, keep going.
Like,
what
all
else?
The time. Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
All right. You have to go back and maybe try some different pills, too.
Yeah, but listen, you got to... This is...
You might try off the pills for a few months to see if it makes any difference.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just so you can document what, you know what's going on.
I don't want her to get pregnant, though. Right, she's going to get pregnant. Are you Mexican?
Hispanic, not.
Yeah, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to get pregnant. You got to stay on those pills.
Is that in my blood or something?
Yes.
I don't think that's my real main concern right now. It's just really...
It's mine. So, but listen, and you got to get some therapy. Yeah. 3 family members.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is a cultural thing, Drew.
What?
Mexicans.
And abuse?
They're like their own.
Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Hmm?
Certain things are inherent to certain cultures.
I see.
Talk to I've got a few cop buddies on the Hawthorne PD department over there.
Yeah.
Talk to a guy who does this.
Yeah, looks into the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and?
That's what it is. Mostly Hispanics.
Well, maybe that's mostly Hispanics that live in that area.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's a convenient answer, Drew. I think there's a little cultural thing going on there.
All right.
You can't admit there's differences in certain cultures?
No, I can't. Or maybe it just doesn't fit to me that it would be more like maybe...
Japanese?
Japanese?
That makes more sense, doesn't it? Close your eyes, Drew.
No, I'm thinking maybe
Japanese,
there's more socioeconomic stress and more primitive qualities
of the
culture.
Close your eyes, picture Japanese.
Ciao.
Yeah.
Ding-dong.
There we go.
Yeah. There's your answer.
Okay.
So you got your answer? And by the way, I got to bring in this letter because the Japanese... defamation group.
Oh, they sent you a letter.
I can't remember what they're called, like darn or mad or glad or something. No, man. But I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
They're riding me all the time. they're pissed off at me for saying derogatory things.
Yeah.
Not Japanese, but Asians, you know? But true. I say better things about those people than I say worse, don't I?
Yes.
By and large?
They can be derogatory, but they're often alluding to superior qualities relative to other races.
Yes, they're hardworking people and smarter than most. Hey, you guys, I tell you, you got a friend in Adam Carolla. You don't want to silence me. I'm your biggest fans. But you know what, Drew? I can't remember what it was, but it's the Chinaman comment.
Just that word?
They don't like Chinaman. And I'm in love with the term Chinaman. What are you doing with all those kind of... Makes me laugh. I don't know why. But they don't like it. But see, I grew up watching a Kung Fu. They call Kane a Chinaman all the time.
Really?
Sure, it's what they call them. It's what the Western folks would call them. All right, but anyway, you know what it was? They sent me this tape that had us talking about holistic remedies.
Oh, yeah.
What's that thing called? What are those drugs called, those holistic drugs?
The herbs and stuff.
Yeah, but they're not herbs. It's, I can't think of the name of it.
Ginseng or whatever.
No, don't think herb. Think holistic pill remedy. Go. Okay, you know what? This is my problem. I have to think of everything I can't think of. I just have to think of it later. You can be of no help to me.
It's a pill. It's not a tea, not a...
Yes. Okay.
And it's a Chinese pill.
It's a holistic pill.
No, not ginseng and not...
Now, don't think herb. It's called...
Homeopathy?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's not a pill.
Well, it usually comes in a pill.
And things, yeah.
Yeah, it comes in a pill form most of the time. Right. Homeopathic.
All right.
There you go.
Small pills.
Small pills.
Well, the whole
big
idea.
Jumbo truck tire size pills that normally people refer to when they say pill.
Homeopathy.
It's a small pill.
Homeopathy means tiny, tiny doses.
Of nothing, though.
Of nothing, yes.
Of nothing.
Yes. Okay.
So we're talking about homeopathy or homeopathy or whatever. And I said that you'd be better off using the dust from the fart of an old Chinaman. It's funny. I thought it was funny. And they sent me this big, long letter saying, it's guys like me that cause the abuse and the stereotyping and, you know, why it's not, you know, essentially safe for Asian people to walk the streets kind of thing. And it's like, I thought, when's the last time we dragged an Asian behind a truck? We don't mess with the Asians. Like, I mean, here's what I'm saying. Where's all the Asian beatings going on? Hey, the guy with the skin and the eyes. Let's go get him. Come on. I mean, we got this internment camp stuff, you know, circa 1940. But since then, been a lot of Asian. I mean, have we been beating on the Asians lately? I don't see it. So here's my thing. What's the complaint? I mean, you complain about me, but you can't say that I'm causing something that's not happening.
Right. There are some problems during the riots.
Thank you.
Hey, we gotta take a break here.
Oh, there are problems during the riots. Yeah, but that's the blacks. That's not me. Don't I know you? No, the problems were is the Koreans got guns and went on the roofs of the store and started shooting the blacks. It had nothing to do with me. All right.
Maybe the Minka stuff bothers them. Hey, listen, USA...
Minka, I'm a huge Minka fan.
USA Weekend's doing a teen survey. They're interested in you guys filling it out. Check it out. You can also check it out at usaweekend.com.
What are you talking about?
They're publishing a study.
You want the Asians to fill out a study?
Sure, yeah, exactly. Teen Asians.
Don't play tennis no more.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. Let's get back to the phones. Drew, let's talk to the Freud guy for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we'll be fast. Guy's been on hold for 70 minutes. David?
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Dave.
I love your show.
Thank you.
So I've been reading a lot of stuff, like, on the ideas of Freud lately, and one of the things that, I guess, like he had said, so that children who get sexually abused, that then they would forget their trauma and it would get repressed and then it would sort of come out in these weird ways that would sort of later affect their lives. But
born gay.
Yeah, most people who are sexually abused, in fact, remember it. And Freud had the whole sexual abuse thing sort of wrong. First, he thought the women he was talking to were histrionic and came up with these sexual abuse memories, were making it up or were distorting some memory. And then he decided that it's always repressed. He didn't quite have that part
exactly right.
But what about the part where you were sexually abused and you sort of repressed the memory? And does repress mean forget, or does that mean choose not to think about?
It's suppressed as choose not to think about. Repressed means it goes away. It's submerged somewhere.
Right, but it goes away within you.
These are concepts that aren't really thought of in modern
but
terms.
But then it does come out. It is manifested in a lifestyle.
They think now in terms of more implicit and explicit memories, that the memories that are implicit are sort of wired into your system and set up your behaviors.
All right, so...
And explicit means you remember. You have an image of it.
Right, but whether it's wired into your system and it's wired at the time, the point is your sexual abuse affects the way you lead the rest of your life. And if you substitute the word repress for suppress, Freud wasn't too far off.
No, he's not too far off. But Dave, if you're interested in that stuff, I'll give you a book that synthesizes pretty nicely more modern stuff by a guy named John Allen, A-L-L-E-N. It's called Traumatic Relationships and Serious Mental Disorders.
But I guess, my specific sort of question is, though, is, a lot of times on this show, that sort of, it seems like you sometimes suggest that, maybe the person can't just remember being abused and that they should sort of go and get therapy.
No, we don't say that. If they don't remember it, we don't push it.
Sometimes it seems like that you kind of decide that... Oh,
next caller!
We decide it, they tell us.
And then they tell us.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, we haven't had this in a long time. And you know why we haven't had this beef in a long time? We used to get this beef from a lot of our callers a lot of the time. We used to get it not only from callers, but from media types and other a-holes like that. We used to get this beef a lot, and now we never get it anymore because we're right the time.
Yeah, we're never wrong.
Thank you. I know it's very convenient, but people started to figure out when we told people, stop, wait a minute, go back and look and tell us whether you're abused or not. They would go back and look, and they were abused. Or they weren't abused, and we'd say, all right, you sure? We'll poke around a little. If it sounds like they're engaged in some behavior that smacks of prior abuse. But once they say no, we sign. And if anyone ever calls the show and says, I think I was abused, I want to get in some hypnotherapy to see if I was.
They forget it.
Our answer is no.
Don't do that. The idea is not to rely on dissociative kinds of mechanisms that the brain evokes or invokes in the space of trauma. Really, Dave, if you're interested in this, read Traumatic Relationships.
He's not interested in it. He's interested in busting our balls. He's not interested in learning anything. He wants to bust our balls. But tell us what your opinion is. Tell us what you think.
No, I just think that I think actually, Adam, a lot of times you've said that, people should just act normal because they know how normal people act. Mm-hmm. I think that's, much better advice than sort of sending people on these searches into their past.
We will never turn somebody to search.
Well, hold on, dickwad. First off, the advice I tell people, which is act normal, is the advice I tell people. And you agree with that.
Yeah, totally.
The only part about the whole accusation or your whole comment that you got wrong is the part where I send people searching in the past.
Dr. Drew,
no,
he
doesn't
never,
either.
Never. Never. No. In fact, we discourage people from that.
Tell them to search. We search.
But you guys always sort of make it seem like that, the only reason the person's acting screwed up now is
All right,
that...
hold on a second. When were you sexually abused, Dave?
See?
Yes. Yeah, huh? Huh? Huh?
Never.
When did your dad rape you?
See?
Now, here's what happens. Some chick calls. She's 22, and she sounds like she's 5. She's talking about having a threesome, and we start asking the questions that we think are pertinent. Because we're experts, and we see this all the time. I know it's funny, David. Yeah, you think you know more than me?
No.
You're high.
No.
I'll tell you why I'm an expert, everybody, because I sit in this godforsaken dump 2 hours a night and talk to a-holes. That makes me an expert. All right, buddy. Okay. Let's focus on you getting laid. That's the real subject. When is the last time that penis of yours was in something other than your underpants?
A couple months.
Couple what?
Months.
Couple months?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Let's focus on that and take care of yourself.
All right, thanks.
All right, good times.
Yep.
But if you're interested, I suggest you read a little bit and you'll see how these patterns are evoked.
He's not interested.
But let's finish the point. We do not tell people to dig into their... In fact, we discourage people that want to evoke memories. It's, in fact, about having relationships where you don't rely on the old implicit techniques that your brain had wired as a result of those experiences.
Yes.
So oftentimes it's about not getting back into those memories so that they just evoke and reinforce the same old mechanisms.
I know. And people's perception of the show is they call up and they say, I want a new vibrator. And we say, you were raped. When were you raped? Tell us what your dad did to you. And it's true half the time. But if we're right 85% of the time, then what's wrong with it? And that's where the problem lies anyway. Aaron?
Hi.
You're 18.
Yeah. I have a question about birth control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have pretty big boobs. They're 38 triple D, and I don't want them to get any bigger. Is there any, like, hormones?
Damn, bitch. How big's the rest of you?
I'm 5'8", and I weigh 150.
Damn, bitch. Hold on. Let me do the radio math. 5'8", 150, 38, triple D. You had to carry the four.
Remember that extra minute you didn't want to spend on the radio? So you better get through this.
You just shut up. It was 5'8", carry the five. I got 5'6", and 15 sixteenths, 167, and 38, quadruple D. Damn, bitch. Really, is it now triple? Are we up to the triple D?
I've been told I'm an E before, but I don't think that's true.
All right. Yes, the birth control can, enlarge that
but
area.
But not necessarily. It's the estrogen effects. You may want to take a low-dose estrogen pill, but it doesn't necessarily enlarge someone like you.
All right. But I think for most girls, it gives them a little swelling.
A little something.
We'll be back.
Well, that about finishes it for our me time for me and Adam. Adam had to get out of here because, of course, he has to do Howard Stern in the morning. We wanted him to get his good two and a half hours of sleep in before he has to do that GD show. Okay, so I'll say the thanks this week. I want to thank phone screener Brian for doing a great job. I want to thank Tara Tomikatara, goddammit.
Oh, big whoop.
That's right. What are you going to do? That's why he makes the big bucks. What are we calling you? What does he call you? Assistant producer, Lauren? That's good. Thank you, Lauren, for a great
ass
week.
Clown.
That's right. And, of course, the talented one, the... One that, what does he say? Is, for sliding those potentiometers. Engineer Anderson. I also want to say farewell to Sarah Buffington, who was a phone screener here, who is now moving out of Los Angeles to Chicago. We'll
whatever.
Miss her, and Adam and I both want to say farewell. So, next week, we've got a big week coming up. We got Bob Crane Jr. come in. We have the female leads from that 70s show. It's Laura Prepon and Mila Kunis. How does she pronounce her name? Kunis. And we've got Buzzy Phillips coming in. We've got the voice of Bobby Hill. Busy Phillips, who pronounces her name. It's late at night, guys. Give me a break. So, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla, then saying mahalo.
He's all, dude, what the hell? I was like, I just took a crap, dude.
All right, everybody.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.